rain, quite mild ahead of the rain, 15 or 16 degrees the top temperature, but more like 10 or 11 further north and west. And then a quick look ahead to Friday, a colder day for all of us by then, with sunshine and scattered showers.
Elizabeth Shari. Now our book of the week and the third episode of Free at Last. Tony Benn's diaries bring us to the summer of 1994 and a rude awakening.
Monday the 15th of August 1994. At 4 o'clock this morning, Caroline woke up and heard somebody shouting at the front door. She went downstairs and there was a drunken Scotsman outside the door hammering and saying, "Is Tony Benn in there? If Tony Benn's not there, I'll bloody well vote for Tony Blair." Caroline said through the door, "Please go away." And he said, "Are you the servant girl?" Then the man lifted up the letterbox and said, "I don't think much of your legs." Tuesday the 4th of October 1994, Blackpool. Blair made his first conference speech as leader. It was a clever speech. It was made with the help of teleprompters, and the camera moved over to Mandelson, who clapped desperately hard. Of course, by attacking Marx and saying he would end Clause 4, Blair opened up a huge and unnecessary debate within the party in the hope of isolating the left and making them look like troublemakers. Later I heard that Tony Blair had been defeated on defence and on Clause 4, and he said it didn't matter. So democracy means you just carry on whether you're defeated or not. Wednesday the 4th of January 1995. I had a very funny letter from a man in Canada who was writing a book about the pilot who flew with my dad in the First World War. He enclosed what he wanted to write, and it said, "Lord Stansgate's son Anthony is now in Sir John Major's cabinet." So I photocopied these two pages and sent the note to the Prime Minister, marked personal. "Dear Prime Minister, you'll see from the enclosed that you have been knighted and I am a member of your cabinet. Why didn't you tell me?" Wednesday the 11th of January 1995. This morning I had a letter from the Prime Minister in his own handwriting. "Many thanks for your note. I too was surprised to hear of my secret knighthood and your membership of the present cabinet. At first I thought this might be an example of over-secretive government. But as you surmise, Mr. R. had got his facts wrong. Thank you for correcting them. Which of us, I wonder, would have been most embarrassed if Mr. R. had been right? With my warmest wishes for the new year, sincerely yours, John." Wednesday, the 22nd of February 1995. I went to the campaign group where I put forward my proposal, which I must admit I did think would be widely supported, that we should absorb Clause 4 into the constitution of the campaign group. In a nutshell, I was soundly defeated. So I came home really licking my wounds, and of course tomorrow it will be Ben rejected by campaign group, and I'll just have to learn to live with that. Monday the 3rd of April 1995, I went to the House of Commons by taxi for my 70th birthday party that Ruth Winston, Sheila Hubaker, Tony Banks and Chris Mullin had organised for me. The Teabags were there, Teabags standing for the Eminent Associate of Benn Archive Graduates, a phrase Ruth invented. All the young people who helped in the office were there. Jack Jones was there, Marion Miliband, David and Edward Miliband, Caroline and the family. It was lovely. The cake was a large model of the House of Commons, which Ruth had commissioned, with Big Ben at 5 to 3, the moment that I was born. Then we all went down to the crypt, where Tony Banks made a speech by the broom cupboard and presented me with a beautiful plaque which says, "This historic broom cupboard is dedicated to Tony Benn on the occasion of his 70th birthday, Monday the 3rd of April 1995. I was completely overwhelmed by it. Wednesday the 24th of May 1995. Harold Wilson died at St. Thomas's Hospital at midnight, and the House paid tribute. John Major made a very sensitive speech, and Blair made a rather empty one. I made a speech about Harold the Socialist, his links with the unions, and the vilification of him for resigning in protest against the defence budget in 1951. Friday the 26th of May. Very nice letter from Tony Blair, of all people, congratulating me on my speech on Wilson, which caught the mood of the House, so I wrote and thanked him very much. Dear Tony, I was touched to get your letter. Harold was a remarkable man, and when you're at number 10, I think his experience in office will be helpful to you. All the best. Yours, Tony. Friday the 21st of July, 1995. Caught the 7:30 to Chesterfield and slept all the way. I have a marvellous system. I have two balloon cushions. One fits up my back, and the other stops my head from wobbling. I've got an airline eye mask, and I have two little foam rubber armrests, and I leave my ticket on the table, and I'm usually sound asleep for an hour. Sometimes I set the alarm clock so that I don't go on to Sheffield, which has happened. Wednesday, the 2nd of August, 1995, a very, very hot day again. Went to a little Greek taverna round the corner, had a lovely meal sitting out, and it was such fun. It's 47 years since Caroline and I met. Caroline was wearing the same dress that she wore when I met her at Oxford, and she can get into it quite easily. She didn't look more than about 30-odd, and she's touching 70. It's unbelievable. Wednesday, the 9th of August, 1995. The situation in Bosnia is developing in a terrible way. I'm getting letters today from people who do understand that the Croatian attack on Krajina was triggered off by German and American pressure. America wanting to beat the Serbs without involving themselves, and the Germans wanting to use Croatia to destroy Serbia, their old enemy. A most tragic situation, and the media coverage has been disgraceful. Monday, the 15th of July, 1996. I had a word with Derek Foster, who'd been at the Durham Miners' Gala over the weekend, and I said, you know, it's extraordinary to me that Tony Blair could have addressed 20,000 of his devoted supporters, and he didn't bother. Well, said Derek, I spent a couple of hours trying to persuade him, but the Durham Miners' Gala is old Labour, and he doesn't want to be seen there. And he continued, I told him, you're not forming the SDP again, you know. Margaret Beckett, who was standing there, said to Derek, if you said that to him, that's why you're no longer chief whip. Tuesday, the 23rd of July, 1996. In the afternoon, we went to Charing Cross Hospital. The doctor had reports of the scan that was done last week at St. Mary's Paddington. When he said the scan of the spine was very sinister, it was quite clear that Caroline has got cancer of the spine, which is terribly serious. It means it's adrift in the bloodstream, and not to put too fine a point on it, he made it clear how serious it was. He said he had known of people living for 10 years, but that was exceptional. Caroline was so brave. What an amazing creature, a courageous, bold, intelligent, loving person. I hadn't meant to put all this in a political diary, but I can't not put it in, because it is the central feature of my life at the moment. Saturday, the 31st of August, 1996. At 6:30, Lissy rang to say that a baby girl had been born to her at St. Mary's Hospital at 5:16, a baby she's going to call Sarah Caroline. Monday, the 17th of February, 1997. I went into the lobby and I had a chat with Ian Paisley, and I told him my theory that the single currency and convergence reminded me of Esau, who gave up his birthright for a mess of pottage. I said to Ian, no doubt Esau and his brother Jacob had convergence criteria, which were approved by Isaac, so Esau gave up his birthright and got some red lentil soup. I love the Bible. He said, so do I, especially the book of Genesis. So I said, we've got to be careful, Ian, otherwise David Trimble will be worried if we're seen talking too much. Monday, the 17th of March, 1997. Today, a general election for the 1st of May was announced, the longest election period this century. Major obviously calculates that he'll bore people into abstaining and that Blair will be revealed as an empty head. But I desperately hope that we win, and I desperately hope we have a big majority. This is my 17th election. I'm hopeful Chesterfield will be all right, but the Liberal appeal for more money for health education and higher taxation is actually very credible. If the Tory vote collapses and they vote Liberal, then I'm sunk. Thursday, the 3rd of April, 1997. One nice story that I heard a couple of days ago about the Millbank Tower. They have set up batteries of young people telephoning party members to get money out of them for the campaign. One young woman in her mid-twenties rang up Jim Callaghan and said to him on the phone, "Have you ever thought of being a bit more active in politics?" So Jim said, "Well, I was a Labour Prime Minister. What more could I do?" Saturday, the 12th of April, 1997. Caroline was disturbed all night by my talking clock, which announces the hour every hour, because I've forgotten how to switch it off. So I'm going to have to hide it in the bathroom at night. Sunday, the 20th of April, 1997. I went out this morning leafleting. I had a flaming row with a man of 74 and his wife, both of whom said they had always been Labour but were voting Conservative this time. I asked why, and they said, "Because we don't trust Tony Blair." Then the woman launched into a bitter attack on a single mother with six children who went to bingo every night. She was against a minimum wage and said some people didn't want to work. I said to them at the end, "I don't believe you ever did vote Labour. Those are real Tory arguments," and they got angry, but anyway, I'm glad I said it. But it had an effect on me for the rest of the day, and in the evening I rang Caroline, which I like to do. Sunday, the 27th of April, 1997, went to the station to pick up Caroline, who travelled up with Stephen and the children, Emily and Daniel. Daniel quite fearlessly went up to boys twice his age who were playing football and offered them Labour stickers, and Emily distributed posters. When they're 75, people won't believe they canvassed with their old grandfather in 1997. Thursday, the 1st of May, 1997, Chesterfield, polling day. I got up at 6. I was the first in to vote, two votes, county council elections and the parliamentary election. Polls closed and then we began watching television, waiting to go to the count, and it was quite clear from the exit polls that they anticipated a Labour majority of 159. The Tory vote virtually halved, and Tony Rogers, the Liberal candidate, increased his vote by a few hundred, but I had an overall majority. The club had been having a party from 10 o'clock, and there was a huge cheer as Caroline and I went in. I made a speech, and people hugged and waved and shouted, and then we sang the red flag. Finally, we got back to our bungalow and went to bed about 5:30 in the morning, and it was quite clear by then that there was a Labour landslide. Portillo out, masses of Tories out. Friday the 2nd of May 1997, when we got home, we watched pictures of Blair in Downing Street, shaking hands, kissing, Cherie Blair waving, his children going into number 10. It was a national celebration of a formidable kind, and I got the feeling the media were absolutely delighted not to have to discuss the electorate anymore. Saturday, the 10th of May 1997, Melissa said today there should be a moratorium on carping, so I'm taking that on board. Thursday, the 5th of June, 1997. Little Daniel, Stephen's son, who's 5, said to his dad, "Daddy, what is the biggest number in the world? Is it 168,000? And Stephen said, "Well, Daniel, there's 168,001. "Ah," said Daniel, "I got very close to it, didn't I, Dad? It's marvellous."
Tony Benn reading extracts from Free at Last Diaries 1991 to 2001. The producer was Jane Ray. And in episode 4 tomorrow at the same time, Tony reflects on the first months of New Labour. Our evening's almost at an end here on Radio 4, the shipping bulletin to come after sailing by. BBC Radio 4. It's 12 minutes to 1. Now the shipping forecast, issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015 on Thursday the 20th of March. There are warnings of gales in all areas except Dover, White, Biscay and Trafalgar. The general synopsis at 1800. Low, Atlantic, 965, moving slowly east, expected 150 miles west of southeast Iceland, 960 by 1800 Thursday. Low, southeast Iceland, 967, losing its identity. The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking, North Utsira, South Utsira, 40s, Cromarty, 4th. Southwesterly 6 to gale 8, occasionally severe gale 9, except in North Utsira and South Utsira. Occasional rain, showers later. Moderate or good, occasionally poor.